Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach in Arlington, Virginia. Each week, bad traffic is a great time for brain dumping and brainstorming, so consider this our bumper-to-bumper brain dumper. You like that? Podcast takes about 10 to 15 minutes each week, depending on how bad the traffic is, and it's a chance to put actionable strategies in your classroom or in your school that really can help change the game. And today, I'm talking about something that's happening in my school that I would love to invite you to be a part of. I think it'll be fun and exciting. I always say over and over again that enthusiasm is infectious. I hope you can hear my voice when I talk. Even have a little bit of a cold today, if you hear the cough drop rattling around. I'm excited to change the game. I'm excited to do my job at school. And I would love to bring that enthusiasm to my classroom and inspire you to do the same in yours. So we'll talk about that in a second. But first things first, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe or leave a comment. It helps other people find the podcast, which is awesome. You want to talk to me about it, I'm on the Twitter machine at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching, because I love talking about teaching with people who love talking about teaching. I think that we're stronger together, and we run with people who are faster than us. We want to run faster. So push me. Let's do it. Let's have these conversations. Let's have these tough questions. And I have a website, www.adrenalinerush.com, and that is all about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush. It published last summer from the kind folks at Dave Burgess, and it's about how can we make our classes feel more fun, exciting, more energetic, more alive. And really, I think that that theme park, that mud run, and that escape room model is really cool, because what it does is it pushes you beyond your own limits, and it forces you to endure willingly, a lot of stress, a lot of trauma, a lot of pressure. And if we can do that in our classrooms with lowercase s stress, lowercase t trauma, lowercase p pressure, like, I'm not trying to scare kids. I'm not trying to hurt kids. I'm trying to get them to push themselves outside of their comfort zones. And if we can capture those same motivational strategies that we see in things like theme parks or mud runs or escape rooms, where we're kind of tricking our bodies into going beyond the limits, maybe even going to impossible lengths, and we never thought we could do it. If we could do that, we could change the game. So that's what the book is all about. And the website has all those templates and resources, whatever you need. And today I'm talking about something that really feeds right off of that, really kind of blends that into my classroom or into my school. And here's what it looks like. Today we're in the last week of February when you're hearing this, if you're hearing it when it first published live. That's awesome. Hooray. I'm bad with dates, but I know that this is a leap year, so we have an extra day in February. That's cool. But this week is the last full week of February, which means next week is the first full week of March. March, they say, comes in like a lion, out like a lamb. And I would love to bring that same energy back to my classroom as we kind of kick the last of these winter doldrums, really get our students back in the game with excitement. Now, as it turns out, my school has, every time around this year, an awesome, awesome assembly about a month ago to kick off a full day charity drive. It takes place every March, typically, on a Saturday, and it's a 12-hour dance marathon. Fun fact, apparently the word dance-a-thon is trademarked. Things you learn. But the dance marathon, 12 hours, where every student in our building comes out and dances, and there's bands, and there's games, and there's prizes, and there's all sorts of noise. Teacher bands will play. We'll invite professional bands into play. It's a big old thing. And everyone donates their time, donates their money to support the fight against cystic fibrosis, which is super, super cool. We call it Super Dance. Each year, the Super Dance takes place for about 12 hours, and it's entirely student-run. It is the largest single-day fundraiser for CF, cystic fibrosis, at the high school level in the country. We've been doing it for about 45 years and change. In fact, O'Connell, where I work, Bishop O'Connell High School students, over the course of 45 years, have raised over $4 million for the fight against CF. And it's not unusual many years to have the student body bring in like six figures to help in this awesome cause. The reason why is we have a personal relationship with the CF, the cause and the people behind it. Cystic fibrosis is, if you are not familiar, a respiratory thing, and it's funny, well, I'm sounding like phlegmy and gross today, where if you have CF, you have this very thick mucus that comes in your lungs, and so it makes daily breathing almost impossible. It typically results in daily breathing treatments, which looks like a big weighted vest and a respirator mask that sort of shakes loose all of this loose phlegm. And medication treatments and regular hospitalization. lungs are not working at full capacity, and so persons afflicted with CF tend to have a hard time with athletic activity or just up and down stairs or over the course of a regular day. You can't catch a full breath. And in a very small way today, while I'm dealing with this respiratory thing, it's not lost on me how much we depend on simple acts like breathing, because when that isn't working, nothing's working. Like, my back hurts, my arms hurt, I woke up, my eyes all red, and I'm like, oh man, just because I have this dopey cold, right, that won't go away. So imagine live with CF, and that's not a one-day thing or a one-week thing or a one-month thing. It's a lifetime thing. In fact, for many born with CF, it's a death sentence. And the average lifespan for persons living with cystic fibrosis, with or without a lung transplant, is something like 35 or 36 years. And that's up from where it was 15, 20 years ago. Because you need to breathe, period, the end, full stop. If you can't breathe, you can't do anything beyond that. And as people's bodies do the best they can, their lungs give out. They often wait for lung transplants from organ donors who are, you know, like, and that's a very hard ask, because even that, just by getting the transplant, doesn't mean that your body will receive the new organs. And even if it does, it doesn't mean that the CF won't afflict the old one, the new ones, just like it did the old. So it's a real heartbreaking illness to suffer. And for our family at O'Connell High School, O-C-O, O'Connell High School, 45 years ago, there was a family who went to O'Connell High School whose last name happened to be O'Donnell, unrelated to O'Connell, but sounds the same. At age like 16 or 17 years old, one of these students who went to O'Connell High School, Mara O'Donnell, M-A-U-R-A, Mara O'Donnell, was diagnosed with CF, and she kind of told the school and told the administrators that she was, you know, effectively dying from this, and the school wanted to do something to support her. She says that, you know, she knew that O'Connell students are fighters. She says, let's prove it one more time. And so we staged this huge, huge dance in her honor, to kind of raise money for CF. Sadly, Maura, of course, passed away. CF was as much a scourge in the 70s as it remains today, and life cycles, or lifespans, were much, much shorter. But the O'Donnell family sent other students to school, but the whole family actually had genetically passed on the cystic fibrosis. So several of the children, I think three or four of the children, wound up passing away from CF. And so it has a real, there's our origin story for our school, right? It has a very sore spot in our heart. And I think about Superman, because we call it Super Dance, right? How Superman, when he left Krypton, became Superman. If he did not leave Krypton, he would have just been like, what? Kal-El, is that his name? Kal-El? Or Clark Kent, right? He would have just been walking around Krypton like everybody else. Unfortunately, in order to become Superman, he has to leave his home planet. His home planet has to be destroyed. And that sort of brings him to the world outside of where he grew up, with this passion to do right and do good and do justice. And I think that's not lost on me when we have this Super Dance event. We have this awesome fundraiser that raises tons of money for this really worthy cause. It brings excitement, it brings joy, it brings enthusiasm, it brings energy. It brings a power of, like, you can fight it, you can join in, you know, something for social justice, for social good. But it comes from a very sad origin story, which is the loss of a family. And I think that that's not lost on me as we take to heart why we do what we do as educators. You really do want to, as one of my counselors once said to me, you can either transform your trauma or you'll transmit it. And I love that idea of trying to make the world a little bit better because you've seen something bad happen in that same sphere. So anyways, Super Dance is happening at our school, and I'm so excited about that. It's happening on Saturday, March the 13th, I think, if I got those dates right. And it'll be a 12-hour dance marathon. Every kid in the building, every adult in the building, I think like 97% of the kids in our building take part in it, which is so cool. But unfortunately, it's also the same weekend as the ASCD Empower Conference, which is being held this year in Los Angeles, California. And I don't know much about math, but I do know that Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. are far away from each other. And so the likelihood of me being able to be at the Super Dance, which starts at noon and goes till midnight, and simultaneously in Los Angeles, where I'm scheduled to give a presentation at 8:30 or so in the morning on West Coast time, which is like 11:30 East Coast time, is statistically not likely to happen. So I can't be in two places at once. And because I'm scheduled to present at ASCD Empower, I'm going to be traveling with a team from O'Connell. And so that means a handful of teachers will not be able to be there at our super dance when really the whole school community turns out. Parents, volunteers, custodians, food service workers, secretaries, admin assistants, teachers, of course, every student you can think of, student groups, clubs, even spouses of people come with their kids. We just hang out. So what does this mean? It means that I can't do the super dance, and that sucks because CF is a big part of the O'Connell tradition, and fighting CF is something that really is near and dear to our hearts as O'Connell educators. So what's the point of today's podcast? Well, I think if you're given a platform, you should take advantage of leveraging it for good, for social good, for the good of your students, for the good of educators around the world. And you might not ever come to O'Connell High School. You might not have a personal connection to CF, but I do. And I also wrote a book about theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, which is all about that spirit of competition and pushing yourself to do the impossible and running when you feel like you have no energy left, as Buzz Lightyear would talk about, like to infinity and beyond, right? As Walt Disney himself would say, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. And fighting CF is an impossible cause, it feels like. You know, it's a big, enormous scourge and this awful, awful illness that has affected thousands of people. And of course, many people at O'Connell High School have a real deep-seated connection to it. So how can I use my platform as an advocate, as an educator, as a speaker, as a presenter, to raise awareness for this and to raise funds for it and to give back to my school in a way that would help support a really worthy cause that I've been taking part in for about 10 years, but I just won't be able to be there for this year. And so this brings me to the point of today's podcast. By dumb luck, I happened to have a free weekend the weekend before the ASCD conference, and a friend invited me to hang out with him down in Orlando, Florida. He's wrapping up a conference that week, and so we will be headed to Walt Disney World. Hooray! Talk about theme parks, right? Doing the Disney park, the Magic Kingdom, on Saturday. I think that's the 7th. Did I get that right? Saturday, March 7th. And we'll do the whole park. That's 12 hours of touring because we're both Disney dorks and we're really excited to spend some time there. Okay, fine. But then 1 week later, I'll be in sunny Los Angeles, and LA is not too far from Anaheim. In fact, only about 45 minutes. And what do you know? I'll be in town a day early in Los Angeles, so I can make a trip over to Anaheim, where the original Disneyland theme park is. And the Disneyland theme park buddies up with the Disney's California Adventure. So that park's open for 18 hours on Friday. I think that's the 12th. I've got that one right. So Magic Kingdom in Orlando on the 7th of March, 12 hours of touring, 25 rides. Then flying across the country to Anaheim, where the Disney California Adventure and the Disneyland theme park share like a common parking lot. And between the two of them, they have, I want to say it's 54 rides between them. That feels right, but I know that the Haunted Mansion is currently being refurbished because it's celebrating a big anniversary in the fall. So that's 79 rides in 28 touring hours in two theme parks on opposite ends of the country. And I thought to myself, how can I take this challenge, this adventure, like, hey, how many rides can I fit on, and pay it forward? So I found a website called Pledge It, which is for athletes and for teams looking to do sport fundraisers, where like, hey, if I run a marathon, for every mile that I run, can you give me $1? Or, hey, I'll do a dance marathon, where for every hour I dance, can you do, 50 cents? Or, hey, for every basket I can shoot, can you give me a blah, 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 whatever it is. For every pound that we lose or whatever you have for your own personal fitness goals, things like that. And I set into the Pledge It, for every ride that I ride, I'm asking for teachers or educators or people who listen to this podcast to consider making a donation. It doesn't have to be a big donation. It could be 50 cents. It could be, a quarter. My goal over the course of two theme parks is to ride 79 different rides in 28 touring hours, which means I have about 18 to 20 minutes to be on each ride. No cutting, no cheating, no, hey, I'm in a race, can I get in the front of the line? Nope. Just doing the theme park like any other park patron would do it. And to put my money where my mouth is, talk about enthusiasm being infectious and like being inspired by the Disney parks, for every ride that I'm able to ride, either in Disney World or in Disneyland, I'm going to put up $10 of my own money. So if I do 50 rides, that's $500. That's crazy. But I sold a few books, and I think that putting those monies back into the cause is an awesome way to show that, again, you don't get into teaching to make money. You do it to make an impact, make a difference. If I can do 10 rides, I do $100. And I don't double up on rides. So for rides, I'm talking about only things that move in the park who have their devoted queuing lines. So no shows like Hall of Presidents or the Tiki Room, and no doubling up. So you can't be like, oh, I just rode this ride that had no line 10 times. Nope. 25 rides in the Disney World Magic Kingdom, and 54 rides, maybe 53, by combination in Disneyland and a California Adventure for a total of 79. If I can do it, I'll max out with 79 rides in 2 days, 78 rides in 2 days, and I'm happy to match, like I said, $10 for each ride. And I want to encourage anyone to listen, who's listening to this podcast, to support it as well. So for every ride that I do, you can put in a donation. And as my sign to say thank you, I will send to you a personal thank you card, like an actual in the old school mail one, with a bunch of stickers from Adrenaline Rush. We can let that people know that that enthusiasm is infectious and your support matters. Likewise, if you feel like you want to make a flat donation, you could do that too. Just like $20, $10, whatever feels comfortable for you. There is no minimum. Anything you would do would be greatly appreciated. It benefits CF and it helps O'Connell High School fight cystic fibrosis. And as an added sweet in the pot kind of deal, if you feel like making a donation, I'm going to raffle off 6 copies signed of Adrenaline Rush, the book, to persons who enter the fundraiser. So whether you donated a nickel or $10 or $2 a ride, whatever it happens to be, whatever is something that feels comfortable for you, you're automatically entered into the prize raffle. And a half a dozen people will walk away with signed copies of Adrenaline Rush as my way of saying thanks for supporting this awesome, awesome cause. I think it's a really cool way to pay it forward, again, to use that platform for change, for advocacy, and to inspire teachers to, you know, attempt the impossible. Because in our classrooms as educators, we don't do this for the money. We do it to make an impact. And in your own work as an educator, what are we doing to make that impact larger than just the students who we reach in our own classrooms? How can we really use our platforms to be advocates for change, for good causes, and get people excited about doing great work? So we'd love to have you join. The link will be in the show notes. It's on my website, certainly. You can check it out on my Twitter. I'll be live tweeting the whole thing at both theme parks. I will probably be very exhausted, and I'm sure I will become motion sick. But like I said, it's for a good cause, so screw it. I am all in. Really looking forward to being a part of this. Thank you for your support, for listening, and we'll talk more next week. Keep changing the game. Thanks again.